You're dialing in to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lynn. If the phone is your weapon, this is your podcast. We're changing the perception of telesales. We're a tribe of telesales professionals who believe in compassion before commission. We're empowering the call coaching experience by starting with the person and salesperson. When we take care of the person, the calls take care of themselves.
All right, I got Coach Michael Burt in the building. He's in the 505 building in Nashville, Tennessee. And of course, I'm here in Calabasas. But I have had a pleasure of meeting you and seeing you at the very first 8% Nation Conference back in Nashville. So it's a pleasure to sit down with you today, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. That was a great conference. And I love Cody Askins. And he saw me originally speak at 10X, and he sat on the front row. And after I spoke, I came out and sat out there kind of in the front row and just turned around, and him and his wife were behind me. And they said, you know, man, we really like you. Come speak at this conference. And that's how it works, man. Every one deal, if you do a good job, should be worth six deals.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So it's all about having a spirit of excellence, which I believe that you also have for sure. And so you have this personal brand and persona about being a monster. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, about eight or 9 years ago, I was riding down the road one day with one of my employees who was a great employee, a great guy. And I said to him, you know, what do you think we do here? You know, I know we coach, I know we train people. He said, man, you want to know the truth? And I said, yeah, of course I do. He said, man, I think you are a freaking monster. Like, man, I have never worked with anybody that works at the intensity and pace and focus that you do. And he said, I found a definition in a dictionary that said a monster is a legendary creature. And when he said that, I was like, boom, I like that. And one of my gifts, the good Lord gifted me with certain things. I can't cook. I'm geographically illiterate. I'm not a good driver. Right. I'm bad at a lot of things. But I am good at taking a concept and monetizing that concept and association. So when he said it, I heard that's a coaching program. That's a brand. That's man, who don't want to be legendary? Right. And so a monster producer. So I built this multi-million-dollar coaching brand that's called Monster Producer. And we've taken it. My wife's got a book called Living with a Monster. Mm-hmm. You know, we got monster kids, we got working for a monster. We've got, you know, we're just kind of taking it to another level. And it's still relatively untapped, just to be honest with you. We got about 450 people I coach a month and growing. I think I'm going to get that number to 1,000 within the next, you know, 9 to 12 months. So, you know, it's just a brand, it's a concept. And learning how to position by concept is very important until you become famous. Right. You need great concepts.
Right. Yeah. You need great concepts. But there's a lost interview by Steve Jobs that talks about 10% of it is the idea. 90% of it is the execution. Yeah. Right. So not only did you have a good idea, but you went out there and executed.
Yeah. I was in a meeting today with a couple strategists, and we were talking about how we can multiply my concepts, how we can scale it, how we can license it, how we can take the greatness factory. And he just said to me, Coach, you're in the top 1%, less than 1% of coaches who really know how to make money with coaching, right? There's a lot of people, there's 700,000 coaches that we know of that call themselves coaches. He said, you're in the top, not even 1%, like 0.01% of coaches who actually earn a lot of income. You know how to take a concept. So to me, it is all about execution. The concept is big, but if you don't have the guts to see it through to its conclusion, the guts to get up every day and sell it, the guts to promote it like crazy, the guts to believe in it enough to sell it. I mean, you know, you got to have a sales machine behind it. And that's one thing I'm good at too, is building a sales machine behind the concept.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Let's dive into that a little bit. You're talking about guts, especially, you know, when you're talking about telesales and phone sales and having to make a lot of outbound calls, or even if you're getting inbound calls, I mean, just being on the phone, working from home in a pandemic, I mean, it takes guts. So as a coach, I mean, if I'm struggling to be gutsy, I mean, how do you kind of work with me?
Well, I think you got to understand that you first have to remove, if you're in telesales, because I'm coaching, I've coached at least 4 or 5 major call centers.
Right.
Okay. Major call centers. And I'm about to have my own call center, by the way.
Nice.
And because I believe in call centers. Here's the deal. You got to have the guts to understand that we don't know what's on the other end of that phone until we make the call. You hear me a lot talk about work the muscle. Like for example, I've had 800 to 900 people buy my book within the last 90 days, Legacy Selling, which is my selling system, right? They're buying it for $9.99.
Right.
It'd be very easy for a salesperson, a call center person, goes, oh, those are cheap leads. Those are cheap people, right? So let's not call them. And I would tell you, one of those people may want to spend $10 million.
Right.
One of those people may connect us to a deal. One of those people may buy our highest coaching package. One of those people may own one of the biggest insurance companies in the world. So we don't know. See, a consideration is I don't call you because I've already made up my mind that it's not a good lead or a good deal. That's a consideration.
Right.
And that is
right.
An internal thought.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I would tell you, life is not always about selling something. Sometimes life is about connecting to people who connect you to other people that you can sell something to.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was looking at a building here at the 505. This is just an example. And I have a condo here on the 38th floor, and there's some office space available, and I'm looking for a place for my greatness factory.
Yeah.
And so I stopped by the front desk one day, and I said, man, who's got that office space there? And they said, well, let me connect you with this girl. And the person that called me back was the number one developer in Nashville, basically like the Donald Trump of Nashville, a guy named Tony Giratani, who's, I don't know what he's worth, $100 million. But he called me back.
Yeah.
She didn't call me back. He called me. He said, hey, coach, man, let's talk. And he and I now have a personal relationship with each other.
Right.
Now, my point is, this is what a lot of people don't do. In call centers, it's about volume, as you know. It's about being really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having an incredible explanation of service. And I have a system I follow. I initiate, okay? And I always initiate with energy,
right?
I always initiate with energy. Jake, man, where are you at today? Calabasas? Oh, you Kentucky? You out there with the Kardashians?
Yeah.
You got the Kardashians somewhere in the back. Now, here's my point. I joke with people. I have fun with people.
Right.
I bring a lot of energy.
Exactly.
Personality will get you in the door with almost anybody.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it.
I smile. Even when I'm on the phone, I meet people. I keep my head up and meet people. Like, that gets me a long way. So I initiate. I disarm. And I disarm through connection.
I'm
certified in the DISC, so I know how to connect with different personalities.
Yeah. Personality, yeah.
And then I move to locating a problem. Okay. And I always say locate a significant problem. And many people don't know they got a significant problem, especially when it comes to insurance. They don't know what they don't know. They don't know that they're underinsured. They don't know that they need the product. And then I offer a compelling solution. And I push them to something. It may not be push them to buy something. It may be, hey, I'm going to send you something. Hey, I want you to watch this video. Hey, I want you to get involved in this. Hey, I want you, right? Like sometimes I'm like, have you seen enough to make a decision? Seems like you're ready to get started.
Right.
But that's my cycle.
Right. Yeah. I love it. It's a really good, you can't have a give without an ask too, right? Like, do you have enough information to make a decision? Because my job on this call is to make sure that you're 100% confident with the decision to move forward. But first, that confidence has to start with us, right? And so you nailed it. You said connection. Sometimes I might connect with this person, because me, connection is currency.
Yep.
But first, we have to connect with ourselves. We have to be confident
100%.
In what we're doing.
And so, confidence is the memory of success.
Yeah.
I wrote a whole book on this called Swag. When I work with call centers on closing is about a transfer of confidence, right? If you got a conviction for your product or service, why in the world would you be scared to ask a person, man, what's stopping you from taking action on it?
Right.
Right. Like if I believe in me, if I believe in my product, why wouldn't I make an offer?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I say, man, what's stopping you from signing up today, man?
Right.
Like, I can't help you till you commit.
Right. Yeah. So you got to have that confidence, conviction, clarity, all those things have to be in order, for sure. So now with everything going on and people, you know, a lot of uncertainty, you know, businesses are having to make pivots, being remote or closing up shop. I mean, What advice might you give to, you know, some of these businesses right now, like to transition, to get on the phone? Like, how do you start? What do you do?
This is the best thing, and this is going to sound crazy, but this is one of the best things that has ever happened to my business. This has forced me to find another gear. Mm. I'm a guy who does live events, man.
Yeah, right.
I make a lot of money doing live events.
Exactly.
I mean, I've done as many 200 events a year.
Oh, wow.
So it's forced me, Jake, to work another muscle, to flip the switch, which is a new book I'm writing. It's forced me to find another gear, activate my prey drive, find other ways to make money. Right? Like here's the deal. Companies that are going out of business today or shutting people down, it's nobody's fault but their own. Let me tell you why. When they had customers, they got lazy with those customers.
Yeah, right.
Right? They didn't call them. Didn't they check on them. They didn't engage with them. They didn't. Right? They just took them for granted, man.
Yeah.
And one day at my office, my team come in. I meet my team every day at 8:30, 12:30, 4:30. And team come in the office and I said, any of you guys walk in barefooted today? They said, no, coach, we got shoes on. I said, any of you guys walk to work? He said, no. I said, I know. I see a BMW driving. And I see that. I said, just out of curiosity, who paid for that vehicle and who paid for them shoes you're wearing? And they looked at me and they said, well, you know, I mean, you did. I said, no, I didn't.
Right. No, yeah.
I said, your customers paid for those shoes.
Right.
And they paid for that car you drove in. So wouldn't it be nice if you told them you appreciated them?
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is true because people need to hear what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now my wife shops at Sonoma. She's a brand, a women's brand, and they got, you know, whatever, bras and clothes.
Oh yeah. Right.
And my wife told me last night, she said, man, they stay in my face. They text me, they call me, they do bundles, they do sales, right. They email me. Mm-hmm. And she said, some of the other companies have never done that. They've never called me. They've never texted me. They've never bundled services. I did a deal last week, man, where I walked in, we sold $100,000 of coaching in a day. And I walked in and I said, today's your lucky day, sales folks. Today's make a deal day. I'm like, I don't care what you give away. Give it to the whole family. Give it to the kids. Throw in two boot camps for the price of one. Let people make you an offer on my boot camps.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun. They sold. They said, man, this was incredible, coach, because you just took the shackles off of us. Now, there's people out there today, Jake, that are broke, that will tell me, no, I'm not lowering my price. I'm not sacrificing my value. I'm like, there is no value to being broke,
right, man.
So let's rethink this a little bit, folks.
Right.
So I would tell you what I would tell the call center folks is this. Number one, 87% of the wealthiest people in the world have a morning routine. Okay. I get up at 5 a.m. I don't feel like getting up at 5, by the way. I feel like sleeping at 7.
Right.
But I get up at 5. I first listen to something spiritual because I'm a faith-based person. So for me, that's a sermon. I listen to a 30-minute sermon every morning, some of my favorite pastors. I then go work out at F45. I have a stake in a gym at F45, fastest growing franchise in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the key players there. And I go work out for 45 minutes hard, and it's hard.
Right.
Okay. And I love it. Then I go home and see my kids. I got two kids. I got an 8-week-old and an 8-year-old. And I go home and see my kids and my wife, give them some love, and then I go to work. And on my way to work, I'm listening to something on business. It takes me 16 minutes to get dressed. Four, that's fixing my hair, man.
Right.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal. When I get to work at 8:15, man, yeah. I already done more. I already done more in 2 hours than most people do in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if I was working from home, I'd do the same thing.
Exactly.
I'd get up. I don't see. Think about rhythm. Now, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is King David. David was a great king. He went into battle. He was strong. He was powerful. And then one year, his own troops said, David, you don't got to go into battle, man. Just take a year off, stay home, hang out, relax, enjoy what you built. And he did. He stayed home. And he did not go into battle. And guess what? He's up there one day at his house and he looks over on the rooftop and he sees Bathsheba, this beautiful woman bathing on the rooftop. And he calls for her to come over here. And then he got in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
And there's a moral to this story. Two people end up dead as a result of that story. Right. He has an affair. He has a baby with somebody, right? There's all kinds of things that happen. Okay. Right. Now, all that stuff is important, but it ain't as important as this. Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. Here's the lesson. When you don't go into battle, man, you get yourself into trouble. When you get out of rhythm, you get yourself into trouble. Your heart beats in a rhythm. Life happens in a rhythm. When you decide to sleep in, like you used to when you're at the call center, get up, go to a routine, make calls. Now you're home and you're like, you know what?
Yeah, I think an extra hour, that snooze button, that's feeling pretty good right now.
Those are not high performers.
Right.
And you got to make a decision, Jake. Everybody's got to make a decision in life if you want to go pro or not. Right. And if you're going to go pro, you're going to go pro, man. You could pick me. I told my sales team this yesterday. You could pick me up today, take me to Alaska, drop me off in the middle of Alaska and say, sell some salmon, fish.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and go, who am I going to sell it to, man? I would find a way to sell that fish to somebody. Okay. Cause that's just who I am. And you got to be talented enough to adapt. That means, hey, I could work from the 505. I could work from my place in Florida. I could work from my greatness factory. I don't need external stimulus to do that, but most Americans do. It's just a fact.
Right.
They need an external stimulus. They need a coach. They need somebody pushing. They need somebody holding them accountable. They need a guy like me in their face every day.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, So you mentioned you got a couple of your favorite pastors. I'm just curious, who are you listening to?
Man, right now I'm on a Jimmy Evans kick.
Okay.
And Jimmy Evans was a big marriage guy. He started Marriage Today, him and his wife. Been doing it 30 years. He is one of the most practical pastors. He's from Amarillo, Texas, straight-talking Texas pastor.
Yeah.
Doesn't mince words.
Yeah,
great Bible teacher, but very practical. And he did a whole series on I Changed My Mind. And man, it was incredible. I changed my mind about fear. I changed my mind about insecurity. I changed my mind about anxiety. I mean, it was incredible. But he's a guy that I could listen to all day, every day, listen to the same sermons over and over. Now, last night when I was winding down, I was listening to my buddy Tim Story, because, you know, Tim Story, he's a California guy. He and I are doing a lot of things together. We make a great tandem together. And so I was listening to him do a sermon last night, but that's one of my main guys. I like Jensen Franklin.
Yeah, I love Jensen.
I like Furtick. Yeah. You know, I like some of these. I like T.D. Jakes a lot.
Yeah,
I've seen T.D. Jakes preach. One of the best experiences of my life was seeing him live in Dallas preach. And I like going and seeing great pastors preach.
Yeah.
They're great communicators.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jensen Franklin has something that I use quite often, as he talks about gratitude is a seed for more. And gratitude definitely sounds like something that you practice as well.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, as far as you're talking about a rhythm, does that also include some gratitude throughout the day? Like, walk me through that.
Yeah. You know, I think, because, like I said, I'm a faith-based person. All the talent that I have came from God. I mean, it's not my talent. Like, I've been stewarded this talent. And I believe very few people talk about this, that work, your work can be the distribution channel for your talents.
Hmm.
Right? Like I've been doing what I love doing since I was 15 years old, man. I'll be 44 in a few weeks. And since I've been 15, I've been coaching people.
Yeah.
28 years I've been coaching people. I loved every second of it. Now, there's hard days coaching people, as many people as I do. It's emotionally taxing because I take on the burden of a lot of people. A lot of people are calling on me. It's like a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Early on in my life, I really figured out, man, that work, there's a difference between an occupation and a vocation. And to be able to get a vocation comes from the Latin term voice or calling in life. Means it's not my job. This is my calling.
Right.
Yeah. And I use my work as my ministry. Like right now I'm coaching people, you know, some people for free, some people that I see talent potential in. I got a little country music artist down in Nashville that I'm sewing into. I said, look, first thing I told this person, I don't want anything from you. Hmm. I have a talent in business and making money with concepts. You have a talent in singing. Just let me help you. Just let me give you some strategies on how you can make. If you make it, man, you ain't got to pay me anything. Just give me a ticket to see when you beat.
Right.
Now, here's my point. I do that all the time, by the way. Yeah. I'll see somebody who's got talent. They don't have money to pay me.
Right.
And I go, man, I see something in you. I see a talent in you. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I get to wake up every day.
Yeah.
Greatest country in the world. Do what I love doing.
Absolutely.
I'm grateful, man. And I think we live in such a spoiled, entitled world where people are not grateful. The people who have a job today should go to the owners of the companies and say, thank you for having the guts to keep fighting through, man. Thank you for providing jobs. Thank you for taking risk. Thank you for whatever you got to do. Cause some of the owners ain't making any money.
Right.
They're sacrificing their own payments. So their employees get paid. So it bothers me when people act entitled, like, man, you're just supposed entitled. To give me money. Well, ain't nobody giving nobody any money. Like, I produce my own leads, man. Ain't nobody give me leads.
Right.
So if I give you leads, just say, all I want you to do is say thank you for the leads. Right. So gratefulness is a mindset. So think about it like this, Jake. Attitude is a posture of the body.
Right.
I'm grateful that you asked me to be on your show, because I could wake up and nobody asked me to be on their show.
Right.
I could wake up and nobody buy my books. I could wake up and nobody want to hear me speak. I mean, like, I know what takes years to build up can take seconds to tear down.
Oh, yeah, right? That's the truth, yeah.
So you gave me your time, you gave me your attention, you gave me your audience. I'm grateful, man.
Right, yeah, and that proves the show also. Like, talent can take you to the top, but it's our character that keeps us there. It's that difference between I got to, then I get to. Yeah. I get to be on the phone. I get to serve, not sell. I get to work with these people. I get to speak life into them. Anytime, like, I get on the phone, it's an opportunity that I'm grateful for to be able to be of service, right? That's the right mindset.
Yeah. And how do you teach, you know, how do you teach that? Because simple things make big differences.
Right.
But like the big stuff is the small stuff, man. How do I teach my 7-year-old daughter who's about to be 8? Get your head up, girl. Smile.
Right.
Meet and greet people. When you get on the phone, build some energy. Like, how many people don't know how to do that?
Yeah.
How many people get their head down, start with low energy?
Yep.
And if I get on the phone with a low energy person, I just ask them, I say, man, everything okay?
Right.
did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed today?
Right.
Like, it seems like, yeah, you got some low energy. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, coach. I'm sorry. I'm like, look, man.
Right. Yeah.
Bring energy. If you ain't got anything, you can bring energy.
Absolutely. Okay?
If you ain't got confidence, you can bring some energy. Like I can't tell you how much money you can make, especially on the phone, if you, man, get your mind ready for what your body's about to do. Now, right. I had a trainer once that was a Marine, and we would show up in the morning. It was men, you know, 10 men. We had this Marine who was our trainer. And we'd walk in the morning at 5 a.m. and he'd say, good morning, ladies. Call us ladies.
Right.
And we'd go in there.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd give us some of that old Marine talk. And
yep.
He would always say this. He said, it's about time that you get your mind ready for what your body's about to do.
Right.
I think selling is like that, man.
Yeah, it is.
I think going into battle every day on the phones, you got to get your mind ready for what your body's about to do. It's like, man, I'm about to do something big.
Right.
Now, yeah. You hang around a guy like me, you're going to want to do something big.
Right.
Because people after my meetings, they're like, let's go. Let's call somebody.
Right.
Let's close a deal. Let's get on the phone. Let's make some money. Let's help some folks. Yeah. But that's an environment I've created.
Yeah. See, I think a lot of people, they want to be monsters until it's time for a monster to do what a monster's got to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that work ethic. Like, the work ethic has to match the vision, right? And the one thing as coaches that we can't put in somebody is their drive. I can give you confidence and I can really work with you one-on-one, but that drive, that energy, like, you've got to come with it, I feel like.
Yeah. And you know, this is a lot of what you're talking about. It's in my new book that's coming out in 2021, which is called Flip the Switch.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing for 28 years. It's about activating the prey drive in a person.
Right. Yeah.
And that dormant instinctual animal instinct is inside of you. Like I think you were hardwired for abundance, number one. I think you were hardwired to take dominion. I think you were hardwired to move forward and play offense versus defense. Mm. So now it's a matter of, how do I flip the switch in you? Right. And there's certain activators of that drive. And a good coach knows how to do it.
Right. Yeah.
a good coach knows how to activate that drive. I did an event a few weeks ago called Flip the Switch, which was a 3-day boot camp with me, something I've never done. I did for $500. And it was literally like 24 hours with me. I mean, deep at my lodge in Tennessee. So there's a lot of young up and coming people, right? It wasn't a high ticket item. So man, and one dude walked up to me at the end, he was almost crying and he was scared to even talk to me. And he handed me a piece of paper and he said, "Coach, just please take this, read it." And I went home and opened it up and he said, "I have been to 10 years of therapy and I've been to 3 Tony Robbins events and nothing has changed my life like 3 days with you."
Wow.
What happened to that dude is I flipped his switch. Now, right, yeah. Still, it's got to be activated.
Right.
But then, to your point, Jake, there has to be a persistence and an intensity to it. And this right. Is where we fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to that F45 that I'm taking a partnership in. So part of the promotional deal was work out with Coach Burt, 6 a.m. I put out to the market, work out with me. You can ride beside me every morning. If you want to work out with me, come work out.
Right on.
A whole bunch of people come in there the first day.
Yeah.
They're smiling, you know, taking selfies.
Yeah.
All right. Day two, half of them ain't there.
Right.
By day three, it's down to 25%. Today is day 4 of workout with Coach Burt. I'm in there, got my cutoff shirt on, showing my guns. And right. I'm like, where's all the people, man, that wanted to work out with Coach Burt? Because Coach Burt shows up every day.
Right.
They don't show up every day. Like, "Oh God, Coach, I'm sore and I'm hurting." And I'm like, "Come on, man." This is the problem. This is why I'm going to earn 10 times more money than they are.
Right.
Because I show up even when I don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what a call center person's got to do. Listen to this. All call center people listen to this. Amateurs listen to their feelings. Professionals never listen to their feelings.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's when I come down to Nashville, my feelings are telling me, "Hey, go down to Broadway and listen to country music." That's one of my feelings, right? I love country music. I love live country music, man. If I didn't have any discipline, I'd be down there every afternoon just hanging out.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. My wife would have to come down there and pull me out of them bars.
which I love that word discipline, man. There are so many disciplines to be broke down, especially if you want to live a biblical life or a spiritual life, you know, or a fruitful life. Yeah. Fruitful life was more of the word.
Just look at the word discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline is a derivative of the word disciple.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus, as we know, had 12 disciples.
Yeah.
The word disciple means to give yourself to a person or cause you believe in. So I ask people all the time, "Do you believe in your own future?" And I've never had a person tell me no, by the way. They're like, "Oh, yeah. I'm like, "Well, where does your future live, by the way?"
Right. Yeah.
And all people do this right here. And I'm like, "No, your future lives in your imagination."
Yep.
I can't see Jake's future. Right. Only you can see. Now, because it's in your imagination, right? God gave you an imagination, gave you independent will. Now, will you have the discipline, right? Will you be a disciple to your own future? And only you know that, man. So if you don't get to where you're going, it ain't my fault because I can't even see where you want to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? It ain't that person's fault, which is what a lot of people say. It's my boss's fault. They gave me some crappy leads.
Yeah.
They just did a better job with this. Listen, I've taken crappy leads and turned them into $100,000 coaching contracts, man.
Yeah.
And I go over to the sales team and we had a guy call in one day. This is an insurance. This is a real true life story. A guy called in, two insurance guys, and they said, "We wanted to buy a retreat with you. We want to come to this retreat, you and Tim Grover, a relentless retreat. It's $4,500. And, but they didn't sign the contract. And so my salesperson brought it to me and said, "Coach, can you help me with these guys?" And I call them and do discovery, which is what he should have done.
Right. Proper discovery. Yeah.
And I said, "Well, why do you want to buy this particular retreat?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, we want a mindset. We're really looking for some coaching for our owners. And we think that retreat, really? Okay. All right. What are we going to do with this? Right. And so by the time I was done with them, they had purchased $120,000 in coaching.
Yeah.
Now they called in to buy something for $4,500. They left buying something for $120. Yeah. And I went over to that salesperson and I said, "Let me ask you a question. Would you like a commission on $4,500?
Or to $120,000?
Or $120,000.
Right.
And they said, $120,000. And I said, "Well, you didn't do discovery."
Proper discovery would have got it.
Because I did proper discovery.
Yeah.
And I located a problem. And I offered a more compelling solution. Therefore, they were willing to spend $120,000. They ended up spending over $300,000, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's just slow down.
Yeah.
And ask the right questions. And discover.
Now I have a follow-up question to that. One of my mentors, Vince Pomponato. What was it like working with the great Vince Pomponato?
And I loved his energy.
Yeah.
When I saw Vince speak at 8%, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know the Hakeem Brothers.
Right.
You got to know. They saw me speak at 10X, but I didn't know them. And they never came to me. They just watched me. And when I spoke at 8% Nation, I was over at the hotel getting ready. My wife came down with me. And so I went over in the morning, checked the venue out. And then I went back to the hotel and was resting. I always work out before I speak and get my energy up. And I said, I knew they were live streaming it on Facebook. So I clicked on it and I saw this dude up on stage and he had great energy. And I'm like, I like that dude, man. Mm-hmm. I like that dude. Then I came in and he was speaking. It was Vince, and he had great energy, had a great, incredibly likable spirit. He had incredible likable spirit, all those things. I mean, he was good, man. He was good. And I never knew him enough to know how good he really was. But he did leave an impact on a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Because I've heard stories like that about Vince. I mean, you can't even imagine people saying that, man. I mean, he that's legacy, though. That him living on through you and other people, man, that's legacy. And so I think that's what I've heard from a lot of people, is just how incredibly impactful he was. And that's the life we all want to live. So
yeah,
he was a good dude, man. Good dude.
And that's a lot of why I wanted to have you on the show today, because even great coaches have coaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Everybody needs a coach, man.
Does your coach have a coach? If they don't, they probably don't need to be your coach.
There's two things you need to know about coaches. If you are paying a coach that don't have a coach, that means they're a hypocrite, number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And number two, if anybody ever tries to tell you, I learned this from Sharon Lecter, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad with Kiyosaki. Sat down to dinner with Sharon Lecter in Arizona. And I'm very fascinated by what she did with Robert Kiyosaki, because she was the president of Rich Dad for 10 years. And they went global, right? Rich Dad series, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant. Like, it was crazy. Sure. So I'm very interested in what she has to say. And I sit down and have dinner with her, and I'm kind of picking her brain. And she said, let me ask you a question. What do you want to do? And she said, if anybody ever tries to tell you what you need to do, before they ask you what you want to do,
right,
they're just trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
So now when I sit down with people, it's one of the first questions I ask. Jake, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And let me see. I don't know if I can help you or not, man.
That's good.
Let me see if I can help you. Right. And maybe I can and maybe I can't. But I can't assume. I mean, I think I can help everybody. But the reality is, I don't even know where you want to go, man. Me trying to tell you. Like, I sat down with a meeting with a guy today, high D, so he kind of controlled the meeting.
Right.
And he was trying to sell me something.
High D is a big driver, yeah.
But what he didn't ask me, what do you want to do, coach?
Right.
Why are we doing this? Why are we sitting down? Mm-hmm. How can we help you? And he kept trying to sell me, how much are you going to spend over here? And it would cost us a percentage of that. You're going to save money. I'm not interested in just saving money. I'm interested in working with the best people. Okay, in the world. So when you lead with money, right, like we'll save you money, what you should have said is, coach, where do you want to go? And me say, this is my vision.
Yep.
Okay, now, okay, here's how I think we can help you. Here's my recommendations for how we can help you, for you to chew on, marinate on, right? And I think we're in such a transactional world that we don't ask that question. Hey, what do you want to do, man? And now some people might say, I don't know. I don't know, man, what I want to do. Okay, that's a different question. But if you know, I want to become the next Covey. Covey impacted me at a very deep level, and then he died.
Yeah.
And nobody has filled in. Covey was deep, and he had a deep methodology, and he had a whole person theory, body, mind, heart, and spirit, man. And so Tim Story said to me one day, he said, man, you're the modern day Covey. He said, but you're more dynamic than Covey was. Because you got that fire, you got that basketball coach in you, you got that pit bull in you. Yeah. He said, you're Covey. You just bring it in a different way. You have the depth of Covey. And that was one of the best compliments anybody could ever say to me, because Covey was my mentor from 18 to 25. That was my guy, right? Everybody's got a guy, you know? Right, and sure. So that's been my dream for a while, man. I want to be me, but the modern day Covey, like the next version of Covey, right?
Like
the 2.0 version of Covey. So, you know, when people don't ask me what I want to do, and then they try to tell me what to do, I just feel like they're trying to sell me something.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a pro tip too. I mean, a lot of times, even in recruiting calls, because right now I'm recruiting for a virtual call center, and sometimes like you got to just make sure that you're setting proper expectations. You're doing a proper discovery, making sure that there's a mutual fit there, that if they have one expectation and, you know, based on how other people have been, top performers have been performing, like you have a general idea how much money somebody can make. Right. And so it's often easy to fall into the trap of, what do you need to make, you know, to make this work? Like, how much money do you have to make so I can make sure that we can set proper expectations around that? But I love that as well, because, you know, we do still take that approach of, you tell me how much money you want to make and I'll tell you how many calls you need to make to get that kind of money.
Yeah. When I hire people now, they're on 90-day performance agreements.
Right.
They have certain targets to hit, but in the agreement, it says my top 20 beliefs. Like, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
And I say, I want you to read these beliefs. And if you and I are not in alignment on these beliefs, tell me now.
Culture fit. Yeah. It's a core now, values, beliefs, core values.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, look, it's okay. But if we don't believe the same things,
right,
we are going to have conflict.
Yeah.
Conflict happens with pace and intensity. Two, occupation versus vocation, right? Mission or job. And three, we don't believe the same things, man.
Right. Yeah.
We don't, and that's okay. There's 7 billion people on the planet, man. We don't have to believe the same things. I'm not mad at you. I'm not, you know, that's one of the things I always liked about Ramiz Hakeem is that, you know, he's coming out now and being more controversial, but he's saying, look, this is what I believe. Don't make me right. And you wrong.
Yeah.
It's just what I believe. Right. And I think people get so worked up. I don't get offended easily.
Yeah.
And, I just don't, I try not to take it personal, and I just understand, look, we just don't see eye to eye on this. Like this, like I believe in coming in early and staying late. Now that don't mean you got to be at the office early. Like some people misunderstand. I'm working when I get up and get going.
Right.
Like when I get in my car or I'm doing a video after my workout or I'm tagging somebody or I'm calling, I'm working. Okay. That don't mean I got to go to the office and work.
Yeah.
In today's world, you know, when I say I believe in coming in early and staying late, I mean, Michael Jordan didn't show up 15 minutes before practice. He showed up 4 hours before practice. Now you got to make a decision if you want to show up 1 minute before you're supposed to be there, 15 minutes before you're supposed to be there, an hour. You got to make a decision if you're going to plan your weeks on Sunday, like I do.
Yeah.
You got to make a decision if you're going to come into the day every day with work a selling system.
Right.
High value versus low value. I can't make those decisions for you. I can always say in my organization where I sign the checks on the front, this is what we believe.
Yeah.
I've had people disagree with me and I'm like, look, you can disagree with me all you want. I sign the checks on the front and you sign them on the back. So if you want to sign them on the front, start your own company. It's okay.
Right.
And I actually believe that this is another a controversial point of view I have. I actually believe turnover is not a bad thing. I have seen some of the best teams happen when there's a cycling out of stale, complacent people and bringing new, hyped up energy people to the team. And so we hear all these books about retention, and sometimes retention equals laziness, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have people on the bus for 30 years and they've been lazy for 30 years, but now they're old. We don't want to get rid of them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And now we got a static culture. Just look at education. It's a great example of people who stayed in something for 20 or 30 years that are terrible. Now, I'm not saying all teachers are terrible, but I worked alongside teachers when I was a high school teacher that had been teaching for 30 years and they hated kids. And you don't need to be a teacher if you hate kids. So just because you got tenure, right? And in the corporate world, we have tenure. Oh, that one's been here for 7 years. So, you know, we kind of let them do whatever they want to.
Right.
And so I actually, at some point, believe rebooting the whole team is a good thing. I don't think turnover is a bad thing.
Right.
And I know people are going to disagree with that, but
yeah,
but you can.
But I see your point of view. I see your point of view too, as well. It's like, you can't have your top performer that's unhappy, miserable, and complacent. That's killing it all cylinders except for their complacency and, you know, they're unhappy, right?
So is it okay? This is a problem with a lot of call centers. A lot of call centers tell me this. This is their problem. Coach or top people don't follow any of the rules. Don't come to meetings. They got bad attitudes. They're not team players. They're selfish. They're lone wolves.
And they got preferential treatment, and everybody else sees it.
So the person over here is like, man, you know, let them do what they want because they're making us some money. But what does that do to your culture? Look, I have a rule in my company. We all take the trash out. That includes me. I drive the bus. I got a bus. You know how I travel around? I get up in the front and drive the bus. Y'all get in the back and ride. I take the trash out. And one of my buddies sent me a message one day on Instagram. He's like, man, you can't do, you got to quit doing that. You got to quit, you know, you're to the point now, you don't need to drive the bus and you don't need to take the trash out. What kind of message are you sending? I said, message that I'm tough, man. A message that I ain't any better than anybody else. A message that I practice what I preach. That's the message I'm sending people because that's real. I'm just not doing it for a photo op, you know? And so I think that's just who I am because of how I was raised by a single mom. And I was raised in a small town, so I got a compassionate side to me.
There you go.
But I also have a very tough, pit bull side to me, And I'm compassionate, but I'm tough. And I'll give you tough love, and I'll say, man, you need to get up, quit being lazy. You need to quit whining. You need to quit complaining. You need to show up and grow up and deliver. You need to quit letting your family down. Like I will push people like that, but also at the same time, man, I'll come along and pat them on the back and say, man, I believe in you. You don't believe in you, but I do.
And I love it because one thing that is the motto of the podcast is compassion before commission. And that's the one thing that Vince Pomponato, you know, first time ever cried mad tears on the podcast. We was talking about him, you know, and so definitely, you know, that's a huge core value of mine is compassion before commission. It's not that the commission is not going to come. But it's got to first have that compassion, but you also have to have that. You have all kinds of different things have to be happening on all kinds of different cylinders, you know. And when we talk about these top performers having these tougher conversations with top performers that just want to have their own way, like how might we handle it? Do we offer them a severance package and send them on their way, or do we? In some cases, we do.
You know, my buddy Matt Monero over in Texas, Dallas, Texas, is famous for a book he's writing called The Torch. And he was miserable. His company was doing $172 million of revenue. He was miserable. It affected his life, his ability to be a dad, his husband. He was miserable. Hated his employees. They had hated him. Bad culture. You know, and he had a breakdown one day. And he was shooting a show, and the film guy couldn't get it right, and he literally just picked up the microphone and threw it at the dude, and that was a breaking point for him. So he went home that night and said, "Man, I hate who I've become."
Yeah.
And he torched his whole company, which means he came in, and he rebuilt it at $172 million. His top six salespeople, some of them were earning over $1 million a year in commission.
Oh, wow.
Now, they're earning $1 million in commission. You know how much money the company was making.
Right.
Quit. He said, we got new rules. I'm rebirthing this company. We're torching. Yeah, it was crazy things. Like he went around and asked people, what do we need here for you to really work? And some of them said, man, the chairs stink. Like there's old chairs. They stink. Carpet's old. Bathrooms are dirty all the time. And he literally just tore it all down, man. It takes guts to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, because he was making good money, and so he restructured the employee agreements, and he said, "Here's the rules. Here's the new rules." His top six salespeople wouldn't sign them. I said, "Man, I ain't signing that. Like I'm one of your top people." And he said, "Well, then you got to go." I mean, imagine. He said he lost $30 million during that period, $30 million in revenue. Now here's the beauty. Now he rebuilt it. He is one of the happiest people in the world. He loves going to work. He loves his team. They love him. There's core values in place. There's a great culture in place. Now he's doing $200 million. One of the happiest guys I know. He's the dad he wants to be. He's the husband he wants to be. He's the businessman he wants to be. The torch. This is such a powerful concept because, in essence, I've torched my business a few times. I'm like, man, I just don't like it. You can actually build something you love that one day you wake up and you hate.
Right.
And it's because you don't think about the design of it, right? You just go down the road and go down the road and go down the road. And, you know, a lot of people want me to be their one-to-one coach. That's one of the number one requests I get. They see me speak or they watch me somewhere. And I just don't do one-to-one coaching. Because I'll do it for 100,000 or more, right. You know, and I say it's more strategy. I'm not a therapist. I've got a performance psychologist on my team. She's much better at psychology than me. I'm a coach.
Yeah.
I got an executive coach. If you want one-to-one coaching, he's your guy. If you feel like you got mental blocks, she's your girl. And I'm your coach. Now I'll coach your team because I love coaching teams.
Right.
Like you can get me at boot camps. You can go on my retreats with me. You can spend 3 days with me at my house. But I'm not coaching one-to-one for anything less than $100,000. Now, if you want to pay the $100,000, I'll suck it up.
Right.
Now, here's my point though.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right up front that these two people I got on my team are better one-to-one coaches than me.
Right.
Now, the reason I tell you that is because for years I'd take on people one-to-one. I'd sit there and be like, oh, this is miserable, man. I don't want to do this.
Right.
I look on my schedule and go, because it don't give me energy, man. I'm a coach. I need a team.
It drains you. Yeah.
I need a target. I need a battle. I need a game to win. I need troops to take into battle with me. I don't want just me and one person because
they
don't give me energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, I appreciate all the energy that you poured out into this podcast, man. I've done like 60 of these with some, you know, celebrity entrepreneurs and things like that. This is by far my favorite, man. I'll be honest with you. So I appreciate the time that you shared with us. I know we went over and, you know, you was giving and I was taking, so I appreciate it.
Yeah. Maybe when I decide to become famous, I'll come out to California. I can't even say it correct, man.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Man. I just see it on television.
Right. Yeah. You probably saw it on television yesterday. On the date of this podcast, when we're recording yesterday, Jake Paul's house was raided. He's big YouTube. You know, you talk about entitlement. It was on the news. Helicopters was going over our house and stuff all day long yesterday. And he got raided by the FBI. It's just like, so you definitely see this place on the news. Not necessarily good things, you know, Kanye West and Kardashians and stuff. Yeah. But I feel like God called us here for a reason and moved us here from Kentucky after our call center. We actually had a call center with North Star that we closed down in Kentucky. And from there, I had to do something and a company moved us out here. While I was riding down the 1 year non-compete with North Star so here I am, you know, the non-compete's up and just pursuing my potential and just chasing whatever God's will is here.
Good for you, man. Well, thank you for having me. God bless you. I hope to see you down the road and let's not make this the end of our relationship. Let's
absolutely. All right, Coach Burt, thank you.
All right, bud. Have a good day. Thank you.
Visit allthingstelesales.com for additional resources that can help you drive more revenue. Did you like today's episode? If so, subscribe so next week's episode will be available for you. And if you really like today's episode, leave a 5-star review. It's a good way to get the word out there. And if not, check out another episode. Maybe then you'll be able to rate the show 5 stars. Anyone you'd like to hear from on the show, send an email to podcast@allthingstelesales.com. I'd love to hear from you. Don't threaten me with a good time.
This episode was off the hook.